Good morning and welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001.
Sorry, I was up for one. I couldn't get on air right now. I'm talking to you in the middle.
Hebrew Nation, His Kingdom, His People, and your radio station.
Yes, right below you. Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You're on with the wise guys, and what a day it is.
You know, it's the best day we've had on broadcast this year so far.
Oh, yeah?
It's the only day. Aaron.
Oh, okay. I got confused there.
Oh, man. Tell me what you're... weekend was like. I mean, this is like a new year. It's supposed to be a new year, but it's a new year according to Gregorian calendar. There's some people in the Hebrew groups are going, hey, this can't be the new year. It's different.
Well, yeah. I mean, the problem with that, though, is in the fact of, well, everything we do in current modern world runs around a Gregorian calendar, so we have to at least recognize it. I mean, you know, when your doctor says, or you set up a job interview or something, they say, hey, come show up here on January 4. Well, hey, what are you going to do? Say, nope, sorry, you got to tell me a different date to show up because that's a Gregorian calendar. I'm not going to listen to that one.
I think the biggest trouble I had this year was trying to figure out what day of the week it was.
So you've had one of those weeks.
Well, it's simple. It's the first day of the week, second day of the week, third day of the week, fourth day of the week, fifth day of the week, sixth day of the week, Shabbat.
Yes. Yep. Well, sometimes when those, it's like, wait a minute. Where are we at? What are we doing? Which day is it? I don't remember. What was yesterday?
That's right.
You just get one of those weeks going on, and you're like, oh, my goodness, I'm so upside down.
Well, I think the reason why I had trouble is because everything was on Sunday this year, and then they all gave a holiday, like, on Monday.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so since I don't really celebrate Christmas or New Year's, I could not figure out for the life of me.
Everything was closed yesterday.
Yeah, I couldn't stand that. I was going, wait a minute, it's Monday. How come no one's open?
My mother-in-law calls me and she says, I put a deposit in the night deposit bank last night, and I'm looking online right now, and it's still not deposited. I called them.
Hello.
It's supposed to be open, and they're not even open.
Oh, my word. Right?
Hang on.
I think we have someone online with us.
Sounds like, yeah. Yeah, an extra voice here.
This is great. We've been working out fantastically. Oh, my goodness. We do have the master with us. He's going to help us make sense of all these New Year stuff. We have with us, folks, this morning.
And you know what?
What?
He's actually speaking to us.
I know.
From the future.
I know.
Does he know that?
You know, so let's see if he comes on here. I can see his face, but we're going to wait to hear his voice because Avi Ben Mordecai is one of the best guys I know of because he's a scholar. He's a friend. He knows what he's talking about. He's looked at scripture for a long time.
Unlike us.
Yeah. But he's all the way in a land down under, right? And that's called Australia.
That's what they say.
Yeah. So we're wondering if he's saying it at all. So good morning, Avi. It's great to have you with us.
I don't know. You're saying good morning, but boy, for me, I don't know. It's kind of late, you know, that.
No longer morning.
Good afternoon.
Well, I don't, Tuck, it's not even afternoon for this guy.
No, I got 16 hours on you guys. You know that. So I am from the future, I guess.
Yes. What are you at right now? Is it 12 or 1 a.m.?
Oh, I don't know. Something a little after midnight, probably on After midnight on what day is it? Saturday? I lost track. Tuesday. We're going into Wednesday morning. Here.
That's
yeah.
right. It's Wednesday morning. He is yeah. from the future.
Yeah. So if something's going to happen, I guess it's going to happen. I'll know about it first, huh?
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm. Avi, it's such a blessing talking with you. It's been almost a year since we've last talked on the air, and we're just wondering if you could maybe bring us up to date with yourself. I mean, there's many people that who like to follow you, and they like to be in touch. Bring us up to date.
Well, look, there's not that much to say. Look, I'm like a lot of people, guys. I'm just, I kind of see the proverbial handwriting on the wall, like a lot of us. And, you know, we know that stuff's coming down. And we're just trying to, we're not trying to run. We're just trying to buy some time. That's all. We moved from, my wife and I and our family, we were up not far from the beach, nice beaches and everything, but we moved over inland about an hour's drive and got ourselves situated out on about a 9 hectare, about probably about a 23 acre farmstead that we purchased.
Uh-huh.
And, we went totally off grid, 100%.
Wow.
And we've got our filtered rainwater. We're off grid. We're doing okay. And it's not going to save us. I'm not looking this to save us, but we're trying to buy some time. We see the stuff coming down, it's going to happen.
Well, with 23 acres, you should be able to see the kangaroos just all around you, right?
Yeah, they're more like the kangaroos and the emus. But look, we're here. We're here not for ourselves. We're here because if people need, we have friends and family, and if people need help and they have to escape something, we want to say, hey, bring your tent, bring your RV, bring your whatever, and just camp out over here. And that's why we're here. We've got food, and we'll share it with people, and we'll just kind of hang in there together. And that's kind of why we're here. And so in the meantime, I'm just doing my ministry, and I'm kind of the old Eddie Albert concept. I like to get on the tractor and just get out there and breathe some fresh air and do a little physical work out there and pull weeds and mow the lawn and trim back the vines and the branches and the fruit trees and just kind of, just being relaxed. I don't want to worry. I don't want to get all freaked out about what's going down, but a lot of people are not necessarily in a great position when all this stuff starts hitting the fan. But our Father in heaven is going to take care of every one of us. I'm confident of that in the ways that will work for each of us. And my feeling is we should be ready to share. And if it means taking people in to put your tent up here or over there or wherever you happen to be, or just make it available for people to be protected or at least to buy a little time, then I say go for it and don't, I've never been one necessarily in these days to think that communities are always going to work. Sometimes there's just some chemistry issues going on between people who want to, be the head and serve. They want to control people, and that doesn't ever work. It just doesn't.
Yeah.
So I'm telling folks out there, look, we know stuff's coming down, so we just need to get our focus. And I've always said, Ron, I've always said, stay the course.
Yes.
And it means stay the course. It means don't jump ship when things start getting weird, and things are going to get weird, and we just have to stay the course, stay focused. That's what I'm telling people.
Do you have any more books coming out or teachings that people should be aware of? You know, I've read the Genesis book that you produced, mm-hmm. I think twice mm-hmm. now because I had to, and Galatians on the commentary. I had to read that at least twice because you have a lot of thoughts, and usually I like to skim books, you know, but I can't seem to skim your book.
Mm-hmm. I just carry my books around.
I know. I read it, then I go back at it again, and I go, okay, yeah, now I see it. So I would say that those two books were life-changing for us, for In the Wise Guys, and it was life-changing for me. There were so many different pictures I got to see. One of those pictures was the Messiah, and you seem to really pull him out. And were those your two most intense writings, or have you done others that people should be aware of?
No, those are pretty much, you know, look, the Galatians thing was groundbreaking just for me personally.
Yes.
You know, because it was a change for my own, you know, for my own life. And then, and, you know, as you know, or as a lot of people know, you know, I spent the better part of probably almost 30 years walking in the rabbinic Talmudic way of life. And that included, you know, doing the garb, doing the thing, you know, wearing the black hat, the black coat, the white shirt, doing the thing, you know? And I spent about years doing that stuff. And the time went fast, but I learned a lot of things. And then it was back in, 2021. It was only really about a little over a year ago at Sukkot when I heard a teaching that Dr. Michael Heiser had given. He's over there in the Seattle area. I think he is, at least in the Bellingham, Washington area, I think. And Michael Heiser is what he does, and I don't have any complaints. He's a good guy. I mean we're not on the same page on everything, but I heard him do in passing. He had mentioned this stuff about how all of the numbers in the book of Daniel, the book of Revelation, the book of Genesis, that these numbers were lining up according to according to 30-day months. I mean that, you know, and of course being in rabbinic Judaism for myself for almost 30 years, and the sighted moon and all that other stuff. When I heard him say that, I kind of took a step back and I said, wait, what did you say? I had never really thought about the stuff that he would. I never really put a lot of great thought into it. I thought, okay, whatever. But when I heard him say that, I took a step back. My wife and I said, what? And we went to go look and check this out, and it shocked me so much that I had a complete change go on back at Sukkot of 2021, and I started doing a lot of research into the Tzedok or Tzedek calendar issues going on at the Dead Sea Scrolls and that stuff. I was really immersing myself, trying to understand what is going on here. And one thing led to another, and it put me on the path where I walked away from the sighted moon calendar is what I did. I mean, the moon calendar. I walked away after almost 30 years of doing it. And I said, we got to do something different. I mean, if Heiser's saying that all of this, and I can see in scripture he's right, then what am I going to do with this? I mean, it's not going to work. I mean, I've got to do something different. So we went on to this pursuit, and it started getting, you know, some people just are not ready to take that step. And so I was getting some, you know, some hate mail lectures, you know, of kind of people saying, what are you doing? You know, you're nuts. You're out of your mind. And I'm going, look, I mean, I got to follow my heart. This is what scripture is showing. Mm-hmm. So we've got to do it. So one thing led to another. And so what I'm doing now in this whole podcast series, which is there on Hebrew Nation Radio here online, is I'm in the process of almost a 20 part series. I think I'm on part 8 or 9 here now. And I completely went into the last week of Yeshua's ministry, his public ministry, using the gospel narratives. And I completely just drilled so deep down into it, pulling apart everything, looking at all of the details of that last week ministry. And what I found shocked me, because what I found was that he was on the Zadok calendar, and I'm 100% sure of it. Now I am. I mean, at first I was kind of going, well, I don't know, maybe, but now I am like, I'm on board 100%. I mean, I'm saying he was not doing the sighted moon calendar. He just wasn't. And I can see that very clearly. I'm talking about, there's no ambiguity in my mind that that's what he was doing. And the disciples were doing it too. They were on it. And so what I came to understand is that in that particular year, and I'm not going to really, you know, I don't want to talk too much here because of this monologue thing I'm doing here, but let me just say this, that in the year, that he was crucified and his third day resurrection, I believe, based on my research, my hours of painstaking research, I believe that I don't know if this is going to shock you or not. I'm not sure, but I believe he had a 1 year ministry, 52 weeks. That was it.
Wow.
Not 3.5 years. That came much, much later on with the church fathers. That was added. So I believe it was actually a 1 year ministry, and he was crucified and resurrected in what we would call year 27 of his common era. Year 20. That's how I've worked it out. Year 27.
And why would that be important for us to know?
Why is that important? Okay, now I'll tell you why.
Okay.
So why I think the year 27 is important, because when you go to Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, and you go to Psalm 90, verse 4, and also to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and following, which is really quoting Psalm 90, verse 4. When you look at all of that stuff and you check it out, it says that a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. So we are anticipating a third day resurrection transformation that is going to happen, whether we believe it or not. It's going to happen for sure, just like it did him. And if year 27 is correct, if it is correct, and, you know, there's a chance maybe I'm wrong, but if it is correct, then adding 2 days to that, or 2,000 years, puts it at 2027. Okay? It does. It does. And what shocks me is that all of this World Economic Forum stuff, they've got this Agenda 2030 going on.
Yes.
And I'm saying, why are they pushing this 2030 agenda? Why is this happening? What's this thing going on? Why are they doing this? And it really has come to my wife and I. We've been looking at this for a long time. We're saying, okay, look, if 2027 is the date, and I'm not making a prophecy, I'm really not. I'm just saying my research seems to be pointing in that direction. And very strangely, in my first book, and this was way back in 1994 when I wrote Signs in the Heavens. You know, I was pushing and saying, gosh, I think maybe 1999 is going to be it, you know. I mean, I thought maybe it might be. Well, I went back into that book, and at chapter, I think it was chapter 12, right at the very end of my book, I stumbled across, I read the section, I read what I wrote at the end of Signs in the Heavens way back in 94. I mean, that was 30 years, was that 30? Is it 30 years? Yeah. 30 years. I read it again just this last year, and I said in that, and those of you who have the copy of the book, you can go back and see what I wrote because it's there. I think it's chapter 12. And I said, if 1999-2000 does not pan out as the year of the fulfillment of all this stuff, I said in writing the next available date would be 2027. That's what I wrote. And I kind of went, whoa, that's interesting I would say that, because I would have no idea way back then, 30 years ago, of what is coming down now. This is global. All this stuff is global. This isn't just some localized, you know, willy nilly stuff going on. This is a global thing with the you know, the CBDCs, the, you know, the you know, the bank digital currencies and the Great Reset and the blah 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 and all that stuff. Okay,
yeah, I mean,
it's amazing. So anyway,
it makes a lot of sense. In fact,
What I'm saying is that If 2027 is our target date based on the Zadok calendar, okay, and now I want to add something here just to clarify something, okay? So in the year 27, what we would call year 27, and considering that Yeshua had a one-year ministry, not three and a half, 1 year, 52 weeks, according to the Zadok calendar, okay? If that is true, and that did happen that way, then that means his resurrection, his third day resurrection, was in the year 27. Now, if that's the case, as I'm thinking it is, when you add 2,000 years to that, that's 2027, and I'm going, this could explain what all this stuff is happening right now. I mean, this stuff is just barreling down on us. And I'm saying, I don't think we have much time. I literally say we don't have much time. I think the clock is running out. And I think we're so close to the fulfillment of this stuff. And in the year 27 of Yeshua's time, the calendar issue, there were several calendars in place side by side at that time. The Pharisees had one calendar.
Hold on, man. We'll be right back. Hang on tight with us, Avi. Okay. Stay put.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hello, Hebrew Nation. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You're on with the wise guys, and we are so blessed to have a much wiser wise guy with us this morning. His name is Avi Ben Mordecai, and he's sharing some information with us that is definitely mind-boggling, and I think it's would actually motivate most of us to, you know, take a check at the times that we're living in. And really start to evaluate and take a moment to just open things up, do some research, which is Avi is doing for us, as he kind of takes us through this idea of 2027, that times may be coming a little bit quicker than most of us think.
See, that's if you follow the Gregorian calendar.
No.
Yeah. And that's a whole can of worms in and of itself.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, I'll just take advantage of some of a little bit of the time that we have here together this morning. Look, I'm not saying to people, if 2027 is not it, okay, I'm not telling everybody, oh, go freak out and go, you know, sell everything you have and go move to some mountaintop and we'll have another experience of the great disappointment of 1844 or something. I'm not doing that. Okay. I'm simply saying, pay attention to what's going on. Pay attention because see, according to this research I'm doing and following the Zeta calendar, not the sighted moon anymore, not on that anymore. Okay. That was about 30 years of my life and I'm done with that. I'm moving in this circle here. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I have found that Yeshua was, in fact, keeping that calendar. Now, what does that mean for us? What it means is that in the year 27, what was Yeshua's, what we would call 27 in Yeshua's day, because he wasn't calling it that, okay? That there was a 48-hour difference. There was a two-day difference between the Pharisee calendar of Passover and the Zadok calendar of Passover.
Really?
There was 2 days difference.
Okay.
Okay. Because of that 2 day discrepancy, once you know that, all of these, anybody who, if you guys read the Passover story and the Passion Week, you're going to see that there's some apparent discrepancies, some inconsistencies going on in the narratives. It's like, this doesn't make sense. What do you, the Feast of Unleavened Bread came, but yet did they do this? But Yeshua, was he the Passover? Was he not? Did they have a Passover? Did they not?
Yeah.
Blah, blah. There's a lot of this stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the Zadok calendar, and you realize that Yeshua kept the Passover with his disciples in the gated community that we would call the Essene community, probably in Jerusalem, in the Old City. He did it on what we would call a Tuesday night.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's when he did it. Where the Pharisees were waiting for their Passover on Thursday, not Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
So they had 2 days. They were 2 days yet in the future for them.
Mm-hmm.
So when you understand that and you look at the narratives in that light, you're going to see that all the inconsistencies start melting away. It's like, in other words, he kept the biblical Passover, and he kept the Pharisaic, and he died on the Pharisaic Passover. He died on that Passover, which is interesting.
Yes.
Because because that's a whole nother story that I'm tackling here in the upcoming programs for Ancient Roads for on Hebrew Nation. So what's happening is there's this 2-day discrepancy going on in his ministry. Now, if year 27 for Yeshua was correct with this 2-day discrepancy and the whole thing that I'm looking at, if that's correct, and I have to stress that, then when you add the prophecy of Hosea, a day is like 1,000 years. You add 2,000 years to that, that brings us to 2027 at Shavuot, or what would be called the 50 weeks after the Passover in 2027. That's what it looks like it could be. Now, if that, and I'm not saying it's not, I don't think it's the Rosh Hashanah thing. I really think it's the Shavuot thing. That's my opinion. But if I'm correct on that, then this is very, very significant. And here is why.
Okay.
And this is what I want people to really latch onto. You guys, you wise guys, I want you to latch onto this and understand this because it's really important.
Okay.
You know that the World Economic Forum is meeting here in January 2023 in Davos. And again, they're pushing this whole 2030 agenda, the Great Reset, the digital currencies, the blah, you know, all the stuff that we're looking at that people are paying attention to. It's in the news. It's not conspiracy. It's conspiracy, but not theory. It's conspiracy fact.
Yes.
Okay. And this stuff is coming down. And these guys have a 2030 agenda. So you have to ask, why are they pushing a 2030? Well, there's a reason why, but I'm not going to go into all the details here on our short time here. But I will tell you this. This is really important, okay? These people that are pushing this whole agenda, they, in their minds, guys, in their minds, they're not doing evil. Not at all. They're not doing evil. They're actually helping to save the planet Earth. They actually believe they're going to save this planet. They're going to kind of do what, though, if your listeners are familiar with a couple of very important songs way back in the 1960s, you might remember The Fifth Dimension called Let the Sun Shine In, the Days of Aquarius.
Let the sun shine in.
Yeah. Okay, now that's talking about something else we're not going to get into here.
Okay.
And the New Seekers with Judith Durham, who she was they were an Australian band from Melbourne, Australia, and they had the song If I Like to Teach the World to Sing in Perfect Harmony. Right? Remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. They were pushing this Age of Aquarius, New Age movement. They were pushing it way back then in the 60s. Okay. Now, what's interesting in those lyrics, it's all, and John Lennon, when he was doing, you know, imagine there's no heaven, there's no earth, there's no fighting, no peace, you know everybody's going to be one. It was all the same stuff, okay? What's going on here is that this whole movement, this whole Davos World Economic Forum thing, they believe they are doing good for the planet. They really are. And this whole Paris Climate Accord change, the climate change thing, I want you to think the way they're thinking. That's not the way I'm thinking, but it's the way they're thinking. Okay? The climate change issue, from their perspective, is true. But they're not talking about specifically about a climate change at a physical level. It's a spiritual, esoteric climate change that they're dealing with. It's a climate change, a change in the climate. What climate? The climate that's spiritual. Because what they're trying to do is they're trying to usher in their millennium for their king, who is Satan Nahash.
My word.
He's their Messiah. And you see, they're not thinking it's evil. What they're saying is that Satan, Nahash, the serpent of Genesis 3, that he was actually trying to save Adam and Eve from that evil Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. That's how they're thinking. I'm telling you, that's how they're thinking. He was trying to save they're trying to repair the Genesis 3 thing, because they know that Messiah is coming back to fix, to do a lot of different things. And they don't want that, because they want their own millennium to rule. They want their own 1,000-year dystopian perfect society. That's what they're aiming at.
Wow.
Got to follow this. It's really important. And so they're trying to fix what Adam and Eve did something, and Yah came and he redeemed it. But these guys are saying, no, we're not going to have any of that redemption stuff going on here. And they're coming along and saying, we need a new climate, a different paradigm.
Mm.
And so if you look at the WEF and you look at their agenda, they have, those of you who are following this, they have 17 what do you call it? Agendas. They have 17 sustainable goals.
Yeah.
They're called SDGs, Sustainable Development Goals, okay? Why do they have 17? Why didn't they just go to 18 or 20 or 25? Why did they stop at 17? Because these guys know that the number 17 has a gematria numeric value, and it works out to the Hebrew word tov, which means good. Good.
Yes.
They're bringing good back to the planet with their 17 sustainable goals. So when people listen to these 17 goals and go read them, they're actually very, very good. It's cool. It's good stuff. It really is good stuff. But the problem is that it's their leaders and it's the Satan at Genesis 3 at the top who's going to enslave people all over again. So it's not going to be Yeshua the Messiah. It's going to be Satan the Messiah.
Yeah.
It's flipped. Everything is on its head. It's all flipped around. So the 2030 is that they have to prepare for the coming of their king, which is Satan. They're preparing for him to come. They are. Guys, they are.
Well, this makes so much sense, because we can see the narrative even now, which is complete anger towards anything that looks, feels, or acts Christian or biblical in any way.
Yeah.
You know, so they're preparing the minds. Hey, look, this is in the way. This church stuff, it controls you. It does all these things, you know. But
the fact is that all they're simply saying is you're going to own nothing. That's true.
Yep.
And you'll be happy.
Well, yep.
But who's going to control you? They want to enslave you for their Messiah, their king, who is Satan, Nahash of Genesis 3. They're flipping it on its head. And so they're preparing for their 1,000-year reign of their Messiah. Because our Messiah, the one that we follow, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, he's coming to establish his 1,000-year reign. So he's coming to do that. And so you think Satan knows that? Of course he knows that.
Sure.
So he's working through his pawns to flip it around and say, no, it's not that one that we need our own 1,000-year reign. And we're gonna make it ready. We're going to make ready everything for our king, Satan. And so they're not doing evil from their perspective. They're doing good because you and I, we're the ones who are duped because we're following you, Dave Ovid. We're duped. We're crazy. And they're trying to save us from that crazy Yudhe Vave who usurped the power off of Satan. See, they've got it all backwards. They flipped it.
Yeah.
Okay? And when you see this, what they're up to, this whole 2027 agenda is just making perfect sense. 2027, 28, 29, 30, whatever. It's right in that realm. It's in that in that ballpark. And so that's why we have to be vigilant, to pay attention to what's going on, and don't go overthinking things and don't say, well, I won't take the mark, you know, but I'll just take the digital currency because I have to feed my family. Look, that stuff is very dangerous.
Yeah,
that stuff is. And once they institute that sustainable goal, which is that mark, okay, we're I hate to use the term, but we're SOL. I mean, the moment they mandate that's the end of the game over. Not for us, but for people who won't follow that path, that is game over. If you take that mark, if you take that and you say, so we're not going to be able to buy, sell, you won't be able to run the radio station. You're not going to be able to do any of that stuff.
Yeah.
You won't
yeah.
have internet. No, you won't, because all of this stuff is going to, so we don't want to be freaking out, but what we want to do is get our focus, because this stuff is coming down. And we're now in 2023 in the Gregorian, and you know that 2025 is a key element, and now we've got some other things coming down with all this virus stuff with the SARS and the SPARS and this and that, Johns Hopkins and Mr. Bill Gates and gosh, all these other people that are playing in this whole circle of evil, of what they're doing. It's all part of the program. And I'm going to tell you, I'm sorry, but Mr. Elon, you know, look, he's part of it too. It's all controlled opposition. Okay. I have some other things I could say, but I'm not going to say. I'm just going to say, pay attention with Mr. Trump, pay attention with all the things that are going on. There's a lot of this, what's called, and those of your listeners that are familiar with philosophy, pay attention to what's called the Hegelian dialectic. It's really important.
Hegelian dialectic.
Because what that does is that says it takes a pro and a con, two different sides. It pits them one against another. And then out of that will come a synthesis of fixing all of the conflict. That's the third leg.
Yeah.
And that's what they're going through. And this climate change thing, again, it's a spiritual climate change, because there's a lot of other things that are all tied into this. Guys, this is so exciting, but it's scary. At the same time, it's scary, but it's exciting. Because
we're the
generation, imagine this. Guys, imagine we're the generation 56,000 years of prophecy getting fulfilled in our time. Wow. This is amazing.
When you say get focused, does that mean I know when I think of all this stuff, it can drive me down the wrong hole once in a while. But the one place that I can be in focus is my prayer time in the morning and constantly praising the name of knowing what he's doing. Is that the type of focus that you're talking about? And how important is the Messiah at this point with people?
Messiah is extremely important, because he's the king of this millennium that he's going to establish for the name Yudhe Vave in scripture. He's going to establish that. But on the other side of that argument, you have these other people who we think are evil, but they think we're evil, you see.
Yeah, it's true.
And they're thinking we're the good guys, and you Christians, you and me, and we're all a bunch of weirdos. We're crazy.
Yeah.
Because we're following Yudhe Vave, and he's out to lunch. He's totally crazy. so they're thinking we need to get our king, Messiah, Satan on the throne. We need to get him on the throne because he needs to save this planet.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they're thinking it. They're putting it all in the in. So they've got this whole perspective. Huh. It's like, we've got to pay attention. So that's why Messiah is so important, because there is a millennium that's coming,
mm-hmm.
and there's going to resurrection is coming. There's a lot of stuff coming, and I don't think it's so far away, guys. I don't think it's so far away.
How do we get you over here in Oregon?
Forget it. Forget it. It's not going to happen. I'm settled down here in.
I got it.
In Western Australia, and I don't think I'm going anywhere. Yah is telling me I need you to settle down right here, and you're not going anywhere. Your ministry is over. Is you're Ricky Nelson. I'm not a traveling man anymore. I'm done.
I got okay? it. Okay, but
you know,
maybe we can stream you in somehow. You know, you're saying that you're going to be putting these podcasts, because this is a message that needs to be heard, Avi. I'm sorry.
Well, they are. There's 20 episodes, something like 20 episodes that are going to be in this whole series. I'm on like the 8 or 9 now, and you're running them every week on Hebrew Nation Radio. So online.
Okay.
And I'm running these programs, and I'm building them, and I'm telling you, this is so. Oh, this is so
important
to understand what is happening, because we don't look at where we're saying those guys in Davos, Switzerland, and Mr. Klaus Schwab and all of those people, they're all evil.
Uh-huh.
But, well, no, they're not. Well, I mean, they are evil, but
yeah.
From their perspective, they're not evil.
Yeah.
And from their perspective, we're evil because we're following Yudevave. We're evil.
And yeah, so, it is really interesting listening to Gates. He truly believes he is the greatest humanitarian that's ever walked on the planet.
But he believes that because for him it's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see, he's not we think he's doing evil. Well, he is doing evil, but mm-hmm. but that's not the way he's seeing it. He's saying, I gotta save you, you crazies out there. Rollin and you guys at Hebrew Nation Radio and all that. I got to save you crazies from mm-hmm. following this Jesus Yeshua guy, because he's the wrong Messiah.
Yeah.
The true Messiah is Nahash, is Genesis 3, the serpent. He's the real one. He's the real deal. So they're setting the whole thing up on its head.
Yes.
This is crucial that we get this. So that's the focus that we have to understand as far as licensing.
Avi, we have just really enjoyed having you on here. Can people still get in touch with you? Is it still possible?
Yeah, well, yeah, of course. Yeah, I'm okay. Still, look, as long as we have internet, I'm still here, and I'm just doing my thing. But there's going to come a time when the internet is going to go dark. We're not going to get online, because it's going to require a mark. It's
yes.
going to require the
approval,
the central bank digital currency. It's going to
yeah.
require a lot of stuff. And I'm not going to take that mark. I'm not going to take any of that. So the internet for us will go dark. I mean, we
yeah.
won't be able to get on. But
yeah,
that hasn't come yet. That hasn't come yet. So I'm okay right now for now.
Well, we've already had a little bit of a practice with it, with the misinformation labels. So,
oh, yeah.
It's just going to keep getting better, man.
But guys, I'm so put it in this perspective, you know, in this whole monologue I'm sort of doing here, but put this in this perspective. Look, 6,000 years of prophetic history, of prophecy. If we are as close as I think we are, we are the generation to see this. 6,000 years of a culmination of prophetic words. If we're that generation, we're going to see it. I mean, this is amazing, but it's scary at the same time.
Yeah. Avi, it's good having you. Be blessed. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
you go, man. It's such a blessing hearing you. I got to figure out a way how to fly down there and just.
You're listening to Hebrew Nation Radio, a division of Torah to the Nations.
Good morning, and welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. His kingdom, his people, and your radio station.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You're on with the wise guys. And, man, we just finished a dynamic hour with Avi Ben Mordecai. Wow.
My head's still spinning a little bit.
That was fascinating. Wow. I'll tell you what. But we have some new guests with us here. So rather than three wise guys, we now have four wise guys and a wise woman. Okay? So
wiser.
Wiser.
you got it right. Yes.
We want to welcome Ralph and Mindy Seda, and they do Messianic dance camps. And I just love these guys because they have a heart for the Psalms and the songs. They have a heart for bringing people to Yahweh and celebrating Messiah wherever they go. And so we just want to welcome them here on the Wise Guy Show. Good morning, Ralph and Mindy. How are you?
Good morning.
Boker Tov, wise guys.
We are good. That's awesome. Well, you know what? We're even more excited because you're coming up here to the Northwest very soon. You want to tell us about it?
We are. We're so excited. We try to make it there every year, and we have a tour planned out starting in Southern California all the way up to Washington and Idaho. So we're going to be gone for a few weeks before we get to go to Israel on the 1st of February.
Wow.
So,
but you are coming up to our direct neck of the woods really soon.
Yes, we're going to see you there in Silverton.
That's right. And what date do we have lined up for you? I think it's
It's a Thursday. I'd have to check the schedule. You could check it out at messianicdancecamps.com. That's plural, messianicdancecamps.com. But it's a Thursday, I believe the 12th.
Yes, that's what I'm looking
so
at here.
So a week from this Thursday.
A week from this Thursday. It's coming up really soon.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very quick.
Oh, my word.
No, it's not a week from this Thursday, is it? Oh, it is.
Is it? Wow.
Okay, we'll be there.
Well, you're going to be on the road very, very, very quick, you guys.
Yes.
Yes, we love it. So we've been doing it for 15 years.
Doing what? Messianic dance camp. What is that?
Okay. Dancing in a tent.
Well, we've been traveling full time for the past 15 years, but we've been dancing this way for over 30 years, actually. But with the ministry, We've had the ministry for 20 years, and we just get to go and minister, worship through dance with the princes and princesses of his people. So we feel very honored and fortunate with what we get to do, the worshipers.
Why worship? I mean, you know, everyone thinks that worship is maybe a good praise song and everyone sings.
That's one way to worship.
Yeah, but what's with the dance? Why is that a worship thing?
Well, I've been doing this for, like I said, over 30 years. But really, it's like, for me, it's like the Torah, okay? Unless you actually apply it to your life, you don't really understand it. Mm-hmm. So I resisted because I used to dance in the world before becoming a believer, but I was coaxed into it, and it took me a little bit of time to understand what it was, but this is my form of worship, my medium of worship for the last 30 years.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, when I came to know Yeshua, I went right into a messianic congregation where part of, you know, the vehicle of worship was dance. And for me, immediately, it reminded me of growing up, going to like Jewish summer camp and seeing that familiar type of community aspect. But when I started doing it, when I started to actually participate in the dance, I felt like I was following scripture because it's praise him in the dance. And, you know, we have models, of course, of Miriam and King David and worshipers going out before, you know, a battle. But really, in my own personal life at the time, I was going through some stuff. Yes, I accepted Yeshua. It was the most joyous time. But also, in real life, I had some incredible pain and difficulty. And unbeknownst to me, I had a commitment to go to a dance class, a worship dance class. And after I finished the class, even though all of the circumstances were exactly the same as before I started, I felt so much better. I felt like not only did God join me in the dance, but I was relieved of this incredible pain that I had, you know, sure. I had a respite. So I realized there was something, you know, something really powerful to actually worshiping him through the movement. And, you know, it really spoke to me in regards to scripture. You know, every week at Shabbat services after the Shema, we would say the Vehafta, you know, Deuteronomy 6 verses 4 through 9, you will worship the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength. And of course, Yeshua goes further to say on your mind. Uh-huh. And that was exactly what dance was. And so since that time, it's been part of my regular walk with him. And as we started dancing and doing workshops over the years, so many people would voluntarily share their testimonies of, you know, how they danced and what happened and, you know, how it changed them. So we realized that there's something truly powerful that happens when we worship him.
And it says in Psalm 149, who the dance is for. Mm-hmm. It says, let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance.
Huh.
It's for a purpose.
So you're telling me that it opens something up? I mean, are we opening up a portal to the heavenlies? Are we opening up our spirit to Yahweh? What are we opening? I mean, does it open?
Yeah, well, it says in Zephaniah 3:17 that he rejoices over us with singing. So while we're rejoicing and singing together, we believe this is how he inhabits the praises of his people Israel.
Wow. So times aren't so good right now. I mean, people are kind of down in the mouth about a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Are you telling me that if I come to this dance camp, maybe I'll feel a little better?
Well, I'll tell you, personal experience with these past few disgusting years, in my own opinion, we were scheduled before, the first lockdown to go to the Pacific Northwest. Yeah. And we didn't know. We were going out for about 2.5 weeks. And, you know, like everybody else, we were like, what is happening? And we weren't going to cancel it. But I talked to somebody up there. One venue canceled. I talked to somebody who is a dear friend who's been in our videos, and she was completely freaked out. And so we didn't know. At that time, we were traveling with our kids, and we thought, well, I'm not sure what we're supposed to do. So we canceled it, okay? And like most of everybody, we started, you know, looking at the news, and for me, I immediately got depressed. You know, I was so upset that we weren't doing what, you know, the Lord has given us to do. We didn't know exactly what to do. So we just thought, well, we're going to go online. You know, we'll go online and, you know, we'll just see if anybody is there. We did like YouTube Live and Facebook Live, and maybe it will minister to people. Maybe not. Maybe it will just minister to us. Mm-hmm. And it was all of those things. First of all, dancing and worshiping him on a regular basis, it was like it pushed the sadness out of our realm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Other people were very happy that they could connect with somebody, even though, you know, it, usually it was, you know, one or two people in a living room watching, they were connected. Okay. Mm-hmm. Also, we were preparing. Remember, it happened before Pesach, and we just thought, okay, we're going to really do Passover this year. And we just prepared dances, you know, online, and we did it for a while. Okay. And then we just said, forget it. You know, we're going out. We're going to go to wherever is open. And we set out by Shavuot. We were on the road going out to wherever, you know, whatever doors were open, because this is, yeah, this is what he's given us to do. We're going to just do it, and we'll take care of our bodies as much as we can, like we always did. You know, we always are hugging people and, you know, and dancing with people. And it was absolutely the most powerful time, you know, because people really, as you know, during these past couple of years were starving for human connection.
Yes.
And it was such a healing thing, you know,
we were able to encourage
and heal, open up places who had been closed, you know, so, you know, it's one of those things. We just have continued to do it. We all got sick, of course, with COVID, you know, a couple of times, probably, I don't know, but, you know, but we're just doing what he's given us to do. And in these past, I guess probably about a little more than a year ago, you know, we really, you know, what happened? Can I just tell you a little bit?
Sure.
So, and I know last time we were on, I don't remember if we had decided to plan to go to Israel, but for me, I got completely angry at Israel. That's what these past couple of years did. I was like so angry. Okay. Yeah. And,
you're the only one.
Right. Totally. I couldn't believe it. And you know what I said to myself? I said, you know what? I've been there. We'll just wait till Yeshua comes back. And I don't care if I ever go again. I mean, that is pretty against the word of God. And you know, it was bad. And so I really had to, I realized, you know, like, God is in charge. He's not unaware of everything that's happened these past couple of years. Matter of fact, scriptures sort of point out that some of these things that happen are probably expected in the scriptures. But anyways, I really had to repent and come before God and ask him for his mercy to come over my life, because he's in charge. And as soon as that happened, this whole thing opened up with both of us about healing. We need his healing. We need his mercy. And you know what? A lot of people are resonating with this whole thing. And in that, we decided we're going to go back and pray healing in the land and Israel. And here we are. And we're going to go next month. And a lot of people who have the same desire are joining us. You know, and we, as soon, you know, they undid the COVID lockdown and all the COVID mandates before I asked God to really forgive me and ask for his mercy. I still was so angry. But then, you know, as soon as that happened and, you know, I asked him, you know, just to wash over me, this whole idea of we need his healing kind of thing. And we've been on this road now for about a little less than a year, I think.
For Israel?
No, it hasn't been. We started, I think, in April.
Right. Well, our ministry to Israel has always been to the believers there, the living stones.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not Jewish, but we are a one new man ministry.
Uh-huh.
And so we want to bless the believers there. We see in Scripture how when Paul, the Apostle Paul, was speaking about the special gift which he was receiving from the Gentiles there in Romans 25, Romans 15, I believe it is.
25-15.
Verses 25 through 27, it says that at present, however, I'm going to Jerusalem bringing aid to the saints, for Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem, for they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them, for if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought to also be of service to them in material blessings. And we believe that it's so important for the believers to be there in the land. Again, in Romans, it talks about in chapter 9 how Isaiah cries out concerning Israel, though the number of the sons of Israel be as the sand of the sea, only a remnant of them will be saved. For the Lord will carry out his sentence upon the earth fully and without delay. And as Isaiah predicted, if the Lord of hosts had not left us offspring, we would have been like Sodom and become like Gomorrah. So we see how important it is for that remnant, that believing remnant, to be in the land physically.
Uh-huh. You know, I got another question here for you when it comes to dance. I'm sure you've heard this before, and I don't want to keep pushing this at all, but you will hear people going, well, it's frivolous, or what good is that going to do? Or, you know, I just don't want to get involved with that stuff because there's really serious things going around the world, and why should I get out there and dance? Or maybe there's another thing. I can't dance, so I don't want to dance. And then there's a third one, which is from me directly, which is I don't want to a foo-foo dance. I want a battle dance. I want a dance that just kicks it.
Do it. I mean, Roland, I've worked with Michael Clayton, and he did a battle dance.
Oh, yeah, right?
And we did it. And it was a bunch of men, and it was lasted 4 or 5 minutes, and it was powerful.
Wow.
And it struck us all in an incredible way. But I mean, you as a singer, you have a gift of singing.
Mm-hmm.
Dance is the exact same way. I'm not a dancer per se, but I understand the principle. It's an art. And you display your body physically doing these things to the master, and he receives that just like he receives your song.
So how do you address that? I mean, because I'll have many people that just want to sit saying, well, that's not my ministry, so I shouldn't do that, or I just don't like how foo-foo it is, or it's frivolous. When a person comes to a dance camp, do you guys talk about the dance and then you display it? Do you have different types of dances? And how do you answer some of these questions that come up?
They're great questions. Culturally, when you have folk dance, which this is, it's Israeli folk dance set to contemporary Messianic music, there are historically battlement movements in all these different cultures when you dance.
Uh-huh.
So, for example, in Israel, the men are the ones who choreograph historically and teach the dance. So we believe it comes from temple times, and it is cultural. So really, the men are the ones in Israel who set the pace or have for many years. And that Psalm 149 that I spoke of, how that the dance is for Israel, it goes on to say that with a two-edged sword, to execute vengeance upon the nations and to bind their kings with fetters of iron. This honor he gives to all his saints. So a part of our ministry actually is Krav Maga, which is Israeli defense, close combat defense.
Uh-huh.
And we see how that it goes hand in hand with what we're doing.
Awesome. So do you explain that to people when they come, and what can they expect when they come to
a dance camp service.
Okay. So usually what will happen is we will, you know, set up a table, we'll open up in prayer and ask people to really come before him. And if they need to, you know, we'll start off by praying and asking for his cleansing and his mercy and his forgiveness in our life, because you want to go before the Lord with clean hands and a clean heart, you know, and that just sort of starts it. And then we'll teach, depending on the group, and usually we have, most people are usually beginning. Some, there might be a few people that have a little more experience and maybe even fewer that are experienced. And we will just start with some basic dances, and then we will give a scripture that perhaps, if it is scripture, where it comes from, kind of like a little meditation. We'll teach it, we'll say what it is, and then we'll dance it again, that we may dance from the inside out. And then we'll increase in challenge. And, you know, people are all different. We're all different. We process learning differently. And so some things will be more challenging to a particular individual than other things. But basically, I wanted to just come back to those three points that you mentioned. We'll close in prayer. We'll take a few breaks, fellowship during those breaks. Usually we'll have a little refreshment or, you know, some sustaining food or drink available so that people can, you know, catch their breath and relax and all of that for a few minutes. But, you know, if the leadership is not on board, because some people don't think there is any value, and you really can't change that person unless they experience it, you know. And we've had many, many times we'll have people contact us because they really have a strong desire to worship in dance, but their leadership is completely not on board. And we would ask them, of course, if they've reached out, if they've asked, if they want to have their leadership check out what we do. But sometimes they're completely not on board. And then we'll ask that person to pray. Maybe that's not where they're supposed to be, because it's unlikely, if your leadership is not on board or doesn't find value in it, that it will translate to their flock. And many times, you know, if the leadership is on board, boy, then that's awesome. That's awesome. So that would be number one. Number two, you know, we just really try to encourage men, you know, to dance. And Ralph is a very manly guy and very smooth on his feet. But we really try to encourage men, because it is, I think it is from priestly times. It's a position, and it changes the dynamic of the circle. And we just try to encourage, because I think people feel embarrassed if they don't get a step right. And we just, our part is to really try to encourage and just have fun. Don't worry about it if you make mistakes.
I love
and
that.
The second point, I said, I think that was one and three. There was one other thing. We have seen so many benefits of dance. Just recently for Sukkot, we were in Jacksonville, Florida, at a congregation that has a big Sukkot. And there were two amazing things that happened. First of all, during the class, and I taught every day, you know, and usually there was like regulars who would come. Sometimes the worship people would come. So, you know, it was during the week. And so this one beautiful couple who was providing some worship was there. And unbeknownst to us, they had a 22-year-old son who had severe, he was on the higher echelon of,
Asperger's or
autism.
Autism. Yes.
Okay. And he.
Hold on, we're going to be right back with you guys. So hang on tight. Thank you.
Hebrew Nation.
Nice.
We're with Ralph and Mindy. Is it Sita or Seta?
Seta. In Italian, it's Seta. In English, it's Sita. That's fine.
Okay. But, oh, so Ralph is Italian. Are you Italian?
First generation American.
Oh, my word.
L'antona mobile, quale più lo vento, mutia riacento.
He's Italian.
Beautiful.
Spaghetti sauce.
Beautiful, Ron.
Man, so just before the break, Mindy was telling us about a breakthrough with a young man or a young lady with autism.
It was a young man. He was the son of some worship leaders, local worship leaders, husband and wife, who were there, and the son came every day to this dance class. Now, the first day, I was a little bit. Because I didn't know, you know, I didn't know he was autistic until he came up and he just, you know, I had my hands raised to the Lord and he grabbed my hands and I was like, whoa, that doesn't happen. And so he couldn't speak, but he stayed attentive and he danced with us. And then every day he danced and it was amazing because he loved it. He loved it. And then at night we'd do the worship, he danced. Now, that was amazing. His parents saw the true benefit of it. He loved it, and it was amazing to see that. One other thing that happened at this Sukkot, I was teaching, and this woman came in, and she had her seeing eye dog. She was blind. She had glasses on and a trip with her, as a matter of fact. And I saw her come in, and Ralph went to meet her. I was teaching, and he came over, and he said she would like to learn to dance.
Oh.
And so I was at the end of a dance. And so I thought, you know, how am I going to encourage her to dance? She could not see, you know. So what I did is I went up and said hello and, you know, greeted her. And I said, look, we're going to do this dance. And I had her stand behind me and put her hands on my arms. So she was like right in back of me and she had her arms on my arms. And I was, you know, giving her the lyric and saying what we were going to do and moving my arms. And she understood that. And so when we did the dance, what I did is I called out to her up, down, side, repeatedly. And this woman was dancing and it was amazing. And we saw it was beautiful. There was nothing to say. It was a testimony at the end of this beautiful Sukkot.
Uh-huh.
So we just, you know, we just see really nothing but benefit. And in my schooling, there's no research on messianic dance and healing, but that is what I'm doing it on. And so on healing symptoms of self-reported depression. So anyways, I'm a huge proponent here.
Wow. You know, that Steve Reese had done his studies on the frequencies of music.
Yes.
And the Hebrew letters within the Psalms and with the Davidic way of looking at things. It broke open everything. I mean, it was just amazing. So I think you're doing research here on the messianic dance. That's awesome because people need that.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of research that are on things that messianic dance just by its natural state encompasses, such as praise and prayer and movement and exercise and synchronicity, religious, spirituality. There's lots of of excellent research on that. So we're very excited.
Okay, so I'll just have to share something with you here. But when you mention religiosity and that sort of thing, because it's funny to me to watch people that maybe have sat around and watched this with their arms crossed and very scowling towards it. And then they get out and they actually do something and they can't help but smile. I think that's just hilarious. I mean, it just kind of breaks through that judgment feel. I don't know if I'm expressing this well enough, but it does fascinate me watching what happens to people, you know, and
Well, I can understand, you know, people thinking that it is frivolous. I mean, I understand that. With our particular ministry, it's my wife and I together. So we usually work on choreography together so that, in particular, men wouldn't feel uncomfortable in the movement.
Yes.
So, I mean, we have 250 choreographed dances in our curriculum, and some of them are very powerful, powerful dances.
Wow. I love it. I love it. So we are looking really forward to having you guys up here. And I did check on it. You're here in Silverton on a Thursday, January 12th, and the doors open at 5 p.m.
Yay.
And we're looking forward to having you. And guess what? You'll find that this particular leadership supports this kind of thing.
We have dance
groups every single Shabbat, and we are blessed with a particular young lady that is able to bring a grace and a fluidity to dance every Sabbath. It's just amazing.
And she has recently come back from Israel, where she spent, 3 months or so?
She spent 3 months there, yeah.
And learning some of dance while she was there. Yeah.
Wow, that's great.
Awesome. Yeah.
So, go ahead.
Oh, well, I was going to say, you know, this has become, I mean, it is truly an outreach school as well for people. And I know when we're in Israel, you know, we'll just dance. And we have people who are going who've never danced, people who've danced quite a bit. And so even if we're doing a simple dance that is worship, you have, so many people, it's like the spirit, the Ruach of the Most High draws his people into it. And we'll usually travel with somebody who can translate from, you know, Hebrew to English so that, you know, we can communicate if they don't speak English. But it's just amazing, as well as even outreach here or anywhere. You know, when we're praising him, and your dance team at the congregation or dance leader might have these kind of testimonials, but if you're praising him, he can do what he needs to do, however he wants to do it.
I love it. Okay, you guys, we're going to let you go, but I need you to push your website a little bit and how people can get a hold of you and see all of your tour dates.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for the opportunity.
Yes, thank you.
And for the opportunity to minister as well. Our website is messianicdancecamps.com, and it'll say Dance Camps, one of the tabs. You could just press on that and see where we're going to be and where we've been. But we've been to over 800 fellowships and congregations teaching around the world, and we just have a passion for it, love to meet with you, and so we look forward to it.
Well, we're looking forward to you guys and everyone that's listening. It really is easy. I mean, even I, completely computer illiterate, am able to hit on this and see the dates.
Well, and you can even do these dances, and you're no athlete.
Yeah, that's right.
you can look at some dances there. It has a tab that says a few dances.
Uh-huh.
We did 25 shows for God's Learning Channel. It's called Come Join the Dance. That's on one of the tabs. You could learn a lot there on our website as well.
Yeah. I love it. All right, you guys, be super blessed. We're looking forward to having you in just about a week and a half. So be blessed.
Yeah. Bless you. Thank you so much. Shalom.
All right. Shalom. Shalom, you guys. Bye-bye. Wow. That's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so how do we wrap this thing up? I mean, this is we changed tempos a little bit. How do we match dancing with the message that Avi gave us?
like it's going to be like this.
Okay.
What is dance? That's a joyous movement, right?
Yeah.
And what was Avi talking about? The end of the world. So yay, the end of the world. Wait, no, that's not going to be quite right.
It's the same thing. Is that we're too caught up in the, you were bringing up that a lot of people think of it as frivolous. Uh-huh. Dance is frivolous. It's not frivolous because it's very structured and it's very exact. And it may seem fluid. It may seem a particular manner, especially to those that are not structured dancers. But dance, I mean, I don't do it. You know, I don't do it very often, but I know how to dance and I've danced for years. I just have, for my own personal reasons, choose not to. But
you know what's amazing is
it's a structured thing and it's a powerful thing.
When you see that circle being structured and yet little kids hanging onto the hands of the adults.
Yeah.
And
just trying to keep up.
Well, but you don't see that in a normal church.
And they're trying to mimic the adults that are around them.
That's
great. It's beautiful.
I mean, I was thinking, you know, so many people are thinking, and, you know, Roland, you and I both came from a church background that really frowned on.
Yeah, sit down.
Yeah, because, you know, as soon as you started dancing, you were going straight to hell right that moment.
Yeah,
so watch out for the lightning bolt. I mean, it was almost to that extent, right? Yeah. But here's kind of the thing. When a piece of music comes on that you're listening to, whether you pick it or somebody else picks it or whatever, you're just around in the area, maybe you're in an elevator, often we will find ourselves just like tapping our foot or tapping our finger or something.
Yeah.
You know, so our body wants to do something to this music, right? If that wasn't such an integral part of what the human body and the human brain wants to do from creation, it seems like it's, you know, built into, so certainly approved by Yahweh of, yes, you're allowed to do this thing. It's not a bad thing. And so as long as we do it in that positive, blessing way, worshiping our Creator, why not?
You know, Satan always has a counterfeit on just about everything. You know, and the Psalms talk about the dance. The Psalms, you know, the Jeremiah, you know, all these talk about the dance within Scripture. But yet, Satan has taken the dance to be many times on the secular level that vulgarity sort of thing.
The lambada, the forbidden dance.
Yeah, to where we lose our flesh.
Right.
You know, it gets off. Wow. But this, when I first met it back in the early 2000s, I was...
Is that Cousin It or is it the dance?
The dance.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was... I'd never seen such a beautiful thing. And I was the one sitting there, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
You know, and then I got up and did it and it just flooded me. I mean, it flooded me with grace and with mercy. And I felt like I was doing even more praise.
It was
awesome.
Yeah, I know when I first started, I mean, you were there the first time I did it.
I remember.
But it was for me, I wasn't worshiping at the beginning.
Yeah.
Because I was focused on what am I doing? How do I do this? And how do I not look like a fool trying to do this? You know, that's where I was because I didn't know it. And so, I think that's where a lot of people get stuck of, hey, I don't know this thing. I'm going to look like I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going to look like a fool. But think about the first time you drove a car, the first time you rode a bicycle.
Chuck didn't look like a fool. He drove his car very well.
the first time you put on roller skates or something, you know, anytime you start doing a thing that you haven't done, you're going to look like you don't know what you're doing, but eventually you're going to look confident, and you're going to be able to do it in a good, positive way.
And even if that's not true, that you don't, some people just are unskilled, they will always look like a doofus, that's still all right, because Yahweh accepts their version of praise.
Right, it's what's in their heart.
It's in their heart.
Cause, yeah, because we sing with a joyful noise. Yeah, why don't we dance with it?
Well, that's the thing, is that not everybody can sing with a joyful noise. I mean, I was fortunate in that I never took singing lessons. Mm-hmm. I just grew up around singers. One of my sisters was a professional for a number of years, and I don't know if I got the same genetics as her, but then I had a voice, and I didn't realize it per se. And I was singing with the Messianic group back in 06, 07, whatever. And some guy turned to me, "You have a great voice." Mm-hmm. And I, "What? You're talking to me, Tuck." "No, I don't have a great voice." "Yes, you do." You know, and so I didn't worry about it per se. I just, it's what I have. That's all I have.
Mm-hmm. So then what we're telling people, come with what you have.
Yep.
And Thursday, right, January 12th.
And be honest.
At the Mid Valley Fellowship, you just go to M, that's, I don't want to say monkey, but
M is in monkey,
V, F.
You need to learn the, I can't remember what they call it, but the military.
Mid Valley.
No, but it's MVFSilverton.com. You can get right on our website. You'll be able to see it. Also, if you go to the site that we just talked about, the MessianicDanceCamps.com, you'll be able to see the calendar. Guys, I want your thoughts on Avi. We only have about 6 minutes left. I mean, that topic was huge.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, I need what you're feeling, what you heard, and, how you're responding to it.
Well, two things for me. One, I'm really fascinated by this whole calendar idea, mm-hmm. whether it's the right calendar or not. It does answer a couple of questions for me, but it creates a whole new line in thinking as well that I want to look into as well. That's one thing. The other is we need to get our act together.
Oh,
you know, that's the big one right there. It's time to quit playing and start not just doing, but being what Yahweh has for us in our lives.
Yeah, because what he's talking about, the World Economic Forum, we see these things happening. We see it happening globally. We know that they're capable of shutting down. It is no longer a conspiracy. We saw the world shut down the world.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So if they can do that with a false narrative of a virus, when they move towards an economic shutdown, that brings that biblical text up, no one will buy or sell. So are you ready to not take the mark of the beast? Are you ready to make that stand? Is that what you're referring to? That's like, we better get ourselves together?
Yes. Yeah. You know, I firmly believe that Yahweh has created us to be a self-sufficient being. And where we have come, at least in, you know, the United States and, you know, some of these other developed countries, if you will, we are very dependent on
them,
you know, these other structures, you know, the Amazons, the Safeways, the government, the, you know, whatever is supplying us our things.
Mm.
And so when those things are in a place where they can be shut off, where are we?
Yeah.
You know, if we don't have the ability to do some of that stuff for ourselves.
So you're saying practice that, which I got from Avi. He says, I'm not out in the country to bury my head in the sand. I'm just buying time.
Right.
Because we know time's going to come to all of us.
Right.
So you're saying, hey, let's start practicing that separation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's the whole concept. What are we trying to do here in our faith? We're trying to understand the word of God. We're trying to understand Yahweh's character. And what's the purpose of that? Well, the purpose of that is to learn how to fellowship with the master of the universe.
Yeah.
Well, I can do all I can to learn his word, Torah, get all structurally straight in my head, and get learned and all that kind of stuff. But until I use it and do something with it, that's all it is just data. It's meaningless because you're not doing anything with it, right? Yeshua wants us to be like him. He told us that, which is to be like the Father. And so that's Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, or Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, however you want to say it. We have to start practicing living his life.
Wow, so you guys are giving me two different practices. Aaron's saying learn to practice without the things that we've relied on, and you're saying to practice aligning ourselves
not
with
practice, do it.
Doing.
It's like, our medical doctors, they're practicing medicine. We don't need to practice medicine, we need to do medicine.
Yeah.
We need to live it. And
we need to be.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's tough. I mean, because we've been raised that way of attempting to make ourselves better, make ourselves smarter, whatever, however you term it. And that's all we know how to do. We have to break free of that.
But if we, let's see if I can, for years, everyone says, oh, the king's coming, he's coming, but then we don't really believe it. So we kind of put it off.
Yeah.
But what I'm hearing you say, these things are coming around and wrapped around in such a way the king is coming.
Yeah.
Therefore, you better get to know him.
Yeah. And it's like he's going to be here shortly. He's going to whistle. Hey, Tuck. What? What? You know?
Yeah.
And if I do that, well, then he's going to run by, pass. Mm. And if I say, whoa, yes, sir. What do you need?
I've heard that voice before, you know? Right?
Yeah. And so we have to start looking at that, you know, looking to fulfill his will. Mm. And that's what it is. It's not our will. That's where we get so caught up into doing things. We become learned and we do things correctly instead of doing it like he shows us. Mm. He only does what the Father told him to do. Mm. He only does what the Father does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, part of me looks at that and says, well, geez, aren't you man enough, Yeshua? Can't you do what you own, you know, your own mind? Why would he do that? Because it's perfect. Yahweh's way, his Father's way is perfect. Why would he change it?
Mm.
There's one way to be, and that's the Father's way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Yeshua lived perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's showing us, how to do that.
Yeah.
And be one with him. That's why they can be one.
Wow.
Echad.
So I'm gathering you guys are a little bit on fire about that little presentation that Avi was
from
making.
Avi, yes.
Yeah.
I think I'm thinking I'm going to try to figure out a way to kind of listen to those back episodes of his and kind of get caught up and really kind of understand what he's kind of stumbled onto.
Uh-huh.
We should look at going on to Hebrew Nation Radio and accessing those.
Yeah, it's not hard to do, you guys. Just go on to Hebrew Nation Radio online.
You got to be able to type it in and spell it first.
Hebrew Nation.
Yeah. And then look at just scroll down to when you get to the calendar, and when you're on the calendar, there'll be dates: Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and you can just scroll through that, and you can find Remnant Road, Avi Ben Mordechai, and you'll go to the right side of that. There'll be a button that says "Learn More." Just hit it. And you'll see all the things that he has aired. So even if you miss it live or on the times it's aired, and guess what? We actually air Avi's shows about four times during the week.
So you could listen to it live on the radio multiple times in the week.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Live on the radio
or on your app on your phone.
And you can just pick it up. Yeah. So yeah, anyways, this has been fun today. I love it. Take a look, too. I was starting to look at that Zadok Priestly calendar. It's Z-A-D-O-K, Priestly calendar, and you can start looking those things up and get to know it. Never does you harm to do a little research.
Right, even if it's just more knowledge feeding your brain.
Yeah.
You know, testing any of it, all of it, you know, just trying to figure out, am I in the place? I thought I was.
From the living word, his light now shines, the darkness must flee.